John 8. Then Jesus said to him, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He and that I do nothing of myself." John really emphasizes this, this value inside of Jesus. But here's a really interesting statement. "But as my Father taught me, as my Father taught me, I speak these things." So he's being educated by his Father on how to see the world, but also how to speak. What's that? Prophecy. How to speak and how to create the world in which God wants to see established on the earth. The knowledge of God is what gives vision and understanding of the world. It's also given us to us as words to speak and create the world in which we live. The words Jesus spoke were essential to releasing the lifestyle of power that Jesus lived. Look at John 12 now. John 12. There was an intentionality to the life of Jesus that you see over and over again. It's an intentionality I try and model. When I pray for people, I don't just want to, this worked 2 years ago, let me try it. And when I pray for people, I expect something to happen. That's why I don't just pray for them hastily. Amen. God, what do you want to do here? What do you want to say? The most powerful gift of the Spirit that you need is the one that that person needs. You don't want to give them, you don't want to pray for healing if they need a prophecy. You don't want to give them a prophecy if they need a healing and deliverance. I believe prophecy is obviously really, really important. That's why the enemy fights it so much. Personal prophecy, corporate prophecy, they create vision, they create purpose. And without certain things said, there will never happen in people's life. Now, a weakness of that is this. Because sometimes people are not developed in their identity, they think they need a prophecy all the time. I've told people, I can give you a prophecy now, but you don't need a prophecy. And that's also really important. So this discussion comes up. Do you believe you can just prophesy? Yes, I do. However, if that's not what God is doing, like, we could do a prophecy party right now. Everybody prophesy over everybody. Some of you be really encouraged. But it's not what God wants to do in a room. You could go even further. You could have a healing line and people get healed. But it's not what God's doing in the room. And people would testify of God healing them. "I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command of what I should say and what I should speak." And then we know that the disciples, obviously, after observing him in operation, realize there's this connection that Jesus has to this lifestyle of fellowship with the power that he's creating. And he doesn't ever really seem overwhelmed by anything. He's living in this place of peace, even though he knows he's going to die one day. By the way, Jesus willingly gave up his life. The devil did not take his life from him. He said, "I willingly give up my life." What a Savior. What a beautiful Savior. So everything you see in the life of Jesus, God intended for Adam. Everything that Jesus needed when he came on the earth, the Father had already resourced him to do it. Jesus leaned into him from a place of fellowship to capture the plan. I say, stay the plan. Stay the plan. Don't get off course. Stay the plan. What qualified Adam to be a steward of the earth? God's calling on his life. How did Jesus function in the earth? He spoke the words of life. What was Adam supposed to do? Speak the words of life. Adam was supposed to be sinless. What was Jesus? Sinless. That's why Jesus is called the second and the last Adam. Because after Jesus, you ain't need nobody else. But he was also called the first fruits. What's the first fruits? The first fruits is the best of something. And he is our model. And what do his disciples ask him? They said, Lord, it came to pass as he was praying a certain place when he sees that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. So here's some thoughts on this lifestyle of prayer. Years ago, I was praying and I went into this vision and I saw these hands and faces, didn't see bodies. And I could see that they had God's attention in the throne room. And I said, I was thinking, you know, you don't actually ask it, but you think these in your mind. I'm thinking, who are all these people? And the Lord says, these are people known in heaven. But they don't have great reputations on the earth. It's better to be known in heaven. Your lifestyle of fellowship with the world is the base level of spiritual warfare to live in this life. Your lifestyle of worship begins to insulate you from the things of this world. That's why the old hymn, turn your eyes upon Jesus. I don't know that next line, but wonderful. Then what? Then the things.
And the things of our lives will grow strangely dear.
In the light.
In the light of His glory and grace.
You know, when I was a kid, when we used to sing that, the focus was more on leaving the earth. But the longer I've walked with the Lord, what I've discovered is that everything that Jesus was teaching his disciples was about living life on the earth.
That's right.
He never told them, get ready to fly away one day.
Because
it's going to be amazing. You're going to get beat up while you're down here. You have great church services and shout. But in the meantime, good luck getting beat up. No, the point was, when you walk in and you just got an evil report about your kid and you begin to worship, you're like, I can handle this because the Lord Jesus is with me.
Right.
I can do anything because Christ is in me and He's got a solution to this. Here's some thoughts. Your lifestyle of fellowship is an indication of how much you really believe you need God. Your lifestyle of fellowship is an indication of how much you really believe you need God. What do I mean by that? Little fellowship, little thought that you really think you need God. When you know you really need God, you turn to Him. You turn to Him every day. God, I need you. And then what you find is, when you do that for like 2 minutes, 2 minutes is definitely not enough. And then you find, you do a lot of stuff that has no earthly value. Then you can spend more time with Him. And you can wake up in the morning with the Word of God. You can go to bed with the Word of God. And you can rejoice always. So your lifestyle of fellowship is an indication of how much you really believe you need God. Here's something that's really lots of fun. God is not afraid to identify with weak humanity. God is not unafraid to identify with weak humanity. Jesus called Himself the Son of David, the Root of David. Jesus will actually sit on David's throne in Jerusalem and judge the nations. Why am I saying that? Because David obviously was this weak man, and Jesus puts himself in that lineage. Here's another thought. God empowers weak people. God empowers weak people. You're like, I can't do it. No, no, you can. Let me help you. Let me help you. This is one of the key apostolic teachings. All the apostles understood this. John says this, John 3:27, a man can receive nothing unless it's first been given to him by God. Everything that we will ever do for God is an act of worship because he first gave it to us first. Like, wow, you did that. Like, oh, I gave you it as a gift first. What you did is you came into agreement with me. And this is why there's such a good system, because he rewards you for the things you do for him that he gave you the power to do. What's also really important about this is your walk with the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit is intended to produce fruit. You got to ask yourself, what is my life producing? Here's the other thing you got to ask yourself. I don't know, it's not really said, but sometimes I'm finding that it's kind of implied in the body of Christ. We sometimes segue people into certain categories. Like, oh, they're like the really like anointed ones. And so they get fruit for what they do. But what I've learned is this, that fulfilling your destiny and producing fruit in the kingdom of God is based on the choices that you make. Amen. Agreeing choices, fruit. Romans 11. Who has first given to him and shall be repaid to him? For of him, through him, and to him are all things. Constant meditation of mine. For of him, through him, and to him are all things. He's the source of everything. It is in your best interest to draw near to God. It is in your best interest to draw near to God. Without a lifestyle of fellowship, you will never understand the full purpose that God intended for your life before the foundation of the world. Years ago, I heard Mike Bickle say, he said, one of my goals in life is to be a theologian of the beauty of God. And I took him up on that. I said, I will choose to live my life that way. God has things he wants to share with you. Talk about that more tomorrow. God has encounters to unlock for you. Before you stepped on this earth, I don't know how he does it, but he's God. He's pretty good. Put you, Danny, here on this earth. What year were you born? 1986. That's when the Mets won the World Series. Gary Carter, the kid. So 86. But before the foundation of the world, he goes, I'm going to put him in the earth as God's gift to the world in 1986. And I have a very unique purpose for his life. But part of that purpose is I'm going to release an encounter on this day. I want him to have another encounter on this day. I want to reveal to him who he's supposed to marry on this day. I got this reserved on this day. And because I'm a good father, I got all he'll ever need on the earth fully taken care of. And all he's got to do is surrender his life to me. We miss it when we think the goal is just getting people born again. Right. The goal is to capture people's souls. Amen. Here's another point that I love. The Father, Son are fully committed to empower you to walk out the plan God saw in you before the foundation of the world. Yes. This is a side point prophetically. I would encourage you to take stock of your life and ask the Lord what you need to do to simplify and adjust your life to produce the greatest fruit in this season. Amen. What you'll find is a lot of people are engaged in activities that God is no longer in. I was talking to a friend of mine, a pastor friend, I think on Thursday. And I said, man, you know, there have been hundreds of people, sometimes thousands in a room. God said, pray for them all. I said, well, I'm tired. He said, no, you can do it. And I'll do it. And then there's like five people in a room. And they said, well, we'd like prayer. And I, no, I'm not supposed to pray for it. I pray for one person. I feel like I got hit over the head with a frying pan. Because he always empowers you to do what he's called you to do. Then usually those are Trojan horses, but that's different. The Father, Son are fully committed to empower you to walk out the plan God saw in you before the foundation of the earth. The reason I said plan is because that's why it's so key to go before the Lord. God, I'm yours to command today. Whatever you have for me, I will do today. Whatever you say, I will respond. Have your way in my life. I give you first place in my life. I present my body as a living sacrifice, fully acceptable to you. Let me be a pleasing sacrifice today. Today, let my life diffuse the fragrance of the knowledge of who you are. God promises to respond to weak people. God promises to respond to weak people. James 4 verse 8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Here's another one. God longs to respond to his children to draw near. So whatever days he had those encounters set up for you, where you're tired, you're coming home from the coffee shop, he goes, hey, come in the sanctuary and worship with me. No, I'm tired. No, come in the sanctuary. I got something I'm going to unlock. There's an angel that's supposed to meet you in there. I don't know how long ago it was, years ago. I got this email inviting me to this meeting in Ohio. I read the email. I ain't got time to do that. But here's the key. The Lord told me, he said, everything you need to know about your life, I'll let you know in the right time if you just stay in a lifestyle of fellowship with me. Yes. So I'm praying, like a day later. And he says to me, you're going! I mean, it was very strong. I wish I could say he hasn't brought me to the woodshed since then, but he has. I wish I could say I grew. But I grew a little bit. You will go to that meeting in Ohio. You are mine to command, and I'm sending you to Ohio. Apparently, we're going to Ohio. That's where I met these guys. Had that happen to me many times. Why am I in this room? So I pray every day. Thank you for ordering my steps today. And I just practice it. It's not even just big stuff. Don't wait for big stuff to acts of the Lord. That's people's problem. They think they don't need him for other stuff. I've learned I need him for everything. The challenge is when the world thinks you're successful in a certain area to invite the Lord into it. I've learned that. Sometimes what I know is a hindrance to where God wants to take me. I'll say, Lord, these are the things I have to do. What would you like to do today? Oh, I want you, that doesn't make any sense. No. Go over to the other side of town today. Because walking with the Holy Spirit is not logical or intellectual.
Right.
Trust and obey. So what are we connecting? We're connecting a life of fellowship with hearing. There's this phrase in the Old Testament, and often about the prophets, it said, and the word of the Lord came to him. And every time you read a commentary on that, they're like, we don't really know how the word of the Lord came to him, except that they must have been close to God. You get close, you'll know his voice. You know his voice, you can tell people about their future. A lifestyle of pleasure and satisfaction await those who draw near. Do you know there's this pleasure of fellowshipping with the Lord? There's this feeling of going, this is what I was born for. I'm actually stepping into eternal place when I talk to you. Psalm 16:11, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are what? Pleasures forevermore. And then this promise. Blessed. What does that mean? Empowered to prosper those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Here's another one. Fellowship with God fuels a lifestyle of fascination with God. Do you know how I've learned to try and position myself in a humble way? You stay before the Lord. It's really hard to somehow get impressed with yourself when you're always looking at Him. Because He's really big and you're really small. But He invites you into this glorious fellowship with Him. Fellowship with God fuels a lifestyle of fascination with God. I believe one of the things that God wants to restore to the Western church is a fascination with God. One of the reasons, and I'm not saying there's not any place for this, but one of the reasons the enemy loves these programmed theatrical performances we call services in a lot of places is because there's no fascination with God. We're talking intellectual concepts. Intellect is not bad, but it will not keep people staying and walking on the water as God intends them. Intentional and consistent are qualities essential to a fruitful lifestyle of fellowship with God. Intentional and consistent are qualities essential to a fruitful lifestyle of fellowship with God. I'm not saying beat yourself up or anything like that. The enemy loves that stuff. And there's some believers who really love that. They love to feel bad all the time. Just beat me up. Beat yourself up. You know, and the Lord's just really changing me. Stop that stuff. But spiritual disciplines are not religious spirits.
Right, brother.
They're not. God will give you I ask God sometimes, wake me up a little earlier. I want a little more time with you. Give me a little more time here. And I'll answer that prayer. I just tell people, find a time during the day where you can lock in with the Lord. Even if it's 10 minutes. Find morning, evening, whatever. I'll never put on ask people to do what God's asked me to do. But find that time and stay consistent in it. Talk to God like you need water. Here's another one that I've learned. The spiritual discipline of fasting accelerates a life of fellowship that God intends. You know, one of the fruits of fasting for me has been your yes becomes quicker. It's like 2 days before I started that fast. I know what you're saying. I don't really want to do that. And then like 2 days into fast, I'll do whatever you ask me to do. At least for me. And then what happens when you get used to just saying yes to everything He says, then you and Him are one and you flex that muscle. And then he stretches you out again and you say yes again. And He stretches. It's like Gumby. Because He reinvents your wineskin every day. And then what's really important is you have to get delivered of preconceptions. What I mean by that? We've been programmed to respond a certain way to different things that happen to us. Growing up in New Jersey, in a very type A family, my family was not passive aggressive. You never had to wonder what my dad or mom was thinking. So I received an impartation. When I went to college in the South, you said something to me I didn't like, I just tell you right there. I don't agree with that. Even the smallest thing. No, I don't believe what you just said. You're wrong. So what happened? I was conditioned to react a certain way. Then when you begin to walk with the Lord, you realize that you're not actually supposed to react that way. And for me, God put me in an environment where there was an authority figure that I had to listen to every day. That didn't like me. I never knew why someone would shoot up a workplace till I had a certain job. But what I began to learn was how to break past how I'd been conditioned. You're conditioned that when less money's come in, you give less. In the kingdom, when less money's coming in, that's when you really dig in on sowing. It gets real quiet. We've been preconditioned certain ways that lock us in to natural possibilities. So what I've learned is, it's not that fasting changes God, but it accelerates this ability to break past preconditions. Intentional fellowship unlocks God's intention towards us. God is very specific to you, and as we turn specifically, He responds specifically. I'm very interested in different things. And so I'm constantly asked the Lord, why did you do it this way? Why did you do it that way? How's this work? And I get fascinated by different things. I got fascinated a few years ago with the Titanic, so I read like every book on the Titanic. Then I got fascinated how planes work. So I started reading a book about planes. But I find sometimes He just releases a little nugget, but then it's not till like years later that He gives you understanding of something, but He's constantly intentional towards you. Here's the last one. I think I've touched on it. Our born again human spirit has been created to live a lifestyle of fellowship and prayer with God. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 17, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Began to learn this, I don't know, 13 years ago. Since I was trained as an athlete, again, how you're trained often carries over into your spiritual life. That's right. So I was trained as an athlete. I remember the first time I sat in a dorm room and said, I'm going to talk to God. Just got back from a certain country. Lots of Muslims in that country. They are not afraid of telling you about their demonic God. I didn't want to get in another Uber again. And if you ask them long enough after they tell you it's a peaceful religion, then they'll tell you about Sharia and how they think people should be killed if they don't repent. After they tell you it's a peaceful religion. They're more bold about their demonic God than most believers are. The reason I know that is because my shortest trip in an Uber in this country was 45 minutes. And I had to hear him. Tell me. You can feel it in the car. I like them. I'm not against them. But they're so bold. But I was talking. So I'm going to talk to God. After about 5 minutes, I go, this is the most boring thing I have ever done in my life. How do people talk to you? You got to break past that. Why? Because, again, you're educated a certain way. You know what's happened to me? Keeps getting better. My memory keeps getting better and better the longer I walk with the Lord. I was forgetful Jones, pre-Jesus. I put my keys in. Why? Because there's a spirit of confusion in this world. And the enemy loves to clutter people's minds. He loves believers to say things, I'm losing my mind. Because that's what he wants, your mind. But my mind began getting better and better. But I learned you have to quiet yourself before the Lord. So I began to develop every day this practice of talking to the Lord. And I began to worship the Lord. And then one day, I don't know, maybe a few years into this, I'm talking to the Lord, worshiping. And I had to go do something. And the Lord says to me, I'd like to have the rest of the day too. And I knew immediately what he was saying. He's saying, you're very intentional here, but you're not intentional to recognize my presence everywhere you go and my voice. And here's what happened when you turn towards him. The privilege of hearing his voice. That's why the enemy fights this so much. It's like I said a minute ago, the first thing that happens is a fruit of walking with God is you'll hear his voice. First time he asks you to do something, he'll go, Abner! I need you to do this. And the first time he told me to do so, I said, the devil is a liar. Or I said, let me get confirmation. That's a real good one. I know what God told me to do. Yeah. But seriously, I do have an agreement with the Lord. As long as it's you, I'll do it. And then you do it. Flex that muscle in that area. Now, when he asks me about certain things or tells me to do certain things, I'll go, can you please do this for me? I'd like you to do this. This still small voice. Why? Because he holds you responsible for knowing his voice. To whom much is given, much is required. And I believe that God is raising not just a company of prophets in the earth, but a company of people in the earth who walk out of a lifestyle of fellowship with God, know the voice of God, and then speak the ways of God in the earth. And it's a beautiful thing. My desire is not to just do more, but simply to build what God's asked me to build. And I believe that's why we're here this weekend. There's a cloud of fire in this room. And I believe that there's a grace and an impartation in this room to just simply commit yourself to a greater lifestyle of worship and fellowship with God. If you say yes to that, 1, 2, 3, just lift your hands.